Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Impy on the mic. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. We're worldwide on the free Odyssey app. Welcome aboard Tuesday's show. That's the one where we do the Commander's Rewind. And just a little prediction. I think you're going to enjoy it today. We'll start at 10:30. It'll last however long it lasts. It's like the restaurants. You open 5 till... till close. When we close, nobody knows. Somebody put AWOD on notice. I'm going to need the 2 o'clock hour as well. We got a lot of highlights to get to. I bet London Fletcher does some laughing today. I think it was a fun day to be at Old Northwest Stadium with the Washington Commanders. We'll relive it. We'll go to the tape. I noticed some things I want to talk about. We'll dig deep on the offensive line because I'm as guilty as anybody. It's hard to evaluate the offensive line. It's really hard to evaluate the offensive line. And I think probably Avon even asked me last Thursday, I think, like, who's screwing up on the offensive line? And I didn't mention Brandon Coleman at all in my answer. And then you get to the stadium, and Brandon Coleman's not playing at all and is not injury-related. I'm like, oh, okay, what's going on here? So I went back and looked, and okay, maybe he hasn't been as good as I thought he's been. But I also think... I think it's an overreaction too the other way. I'm just stealing all the thunder out of Commander's Rewind out of the gate here. I think it's an overreaction too the other way because I think Dan Quinn was sending a message by benching him. Like in the normal flow of action, if they're 2-0, I don't think he gets benched. But he was sending a message to everybody about competition, about playing for playing time, etc. Ravens and Chiefs both on the ropes this morning, both 1-2. The AFC is wide open all of a sudden. Detroit Lions take care of business in Baltimore thanks to a pair of fumbles last night. We'll get into that, what it means. I'll say this. Big game, obviously. Chiefs-Ravens. Everybody's fired up about that one. That's a good matchup every year. I think that's a better game, both teams 1-2, than both teams 3-0. Because I know we all love the, like, they're both undefeated, they're awesome, it's a Super Bowl preview, or AFC title game preview, or whenever they play preview, all those things. To me, though, we got stakes on Sunday. We got actual on-the-line stakes on Sunday. We'll slide into that. A lot of college football to get to. Virginia Tech making moves. UVA making moves. They play Florida State on Friday night. Big game Friday night. With respect to the Who's Talking crew, who were here last night, who will be here next Monday night, who enjoy talking about UVA. The thing about UVA is they just don't know if they like football or not. We're just going to start right there. UVA fans need to figure out if they like football. They like Thomas Jefferson. They like the grounds. They like their academics. Almost any school. Virginia Tech, Thursday night football game, right? They like close campus at noon. Everybody go tailgate. Everybody have a good time. Most schools that have a weekday game, just, you know, let's shut down the operations. And UVA, though, they're a proud academic institution. So they announced yesterday they're not canceling classes on Friday. Go to class, you slackers, and then come out to the football game afterward. Get to school. School matters. And it's both things at the same time. It is quaint and nice that somebody still cares about academics and making sure the kids go to school. But it's also this push of, like, we put millions of dollars into this. Like, all in, the players, the facilities, the coaches, the support, the everything. They're spending at least $100 million a year on football, is my guess. Back of the napkin, that's my guess. $100 million a year on football. Big game. Florida State's coming to town. Gonna prove ourselves. But also, this is a working campus, so if everybody could please keep your warm-ups quiet until 5 o'clock. Everybody, you know, people are taking tests. People are doing homework. Let's not do it. I have all the opinions about that. Whatever opinion you want to call in with, I got your side on it. You'll be like, this is nonsense. This is a big game. We're going to be taken seriously as a football school. We got to get the kids out there tailgating. We got to get the adults in there tailgating. What do you mean I can't park until after 5 o'clock because it's an academic institution? It's a big-time football school. We're spending $100 million on this. This is how the world's going to see us on national TV. I get that. I'll back you up on that even. And if you want to be like, yo, it's a college. The kids are here to learn. Most of these kids don't even care that they have a football team. I will back you up on that as well. I will at UVA. JMU wouldn't back you up on that. Tech, probably wouldn't back you up on that. UVA, yeah, that's the draw. What a public Ivy, whatever it is they say about themselves. Everybody's got some version of that. For a while, Kansas tried to go with Harvard of the Midwest, which I guess there are a lot of reasons that didn't fly. But I think the big ones were that we weren't that at all. I think was probably the one. If you got like a 2.0 in high school, you got guaranteed admission at the University of Kansas.
Is that not how it works at Harvard? Are you telling me there's a difference?
Are you? But the Midwest, we're nicer. Mm. We don't want to gatekeep. We want everybody to experience the joy that is the University of Kansas.
I think you mean the Stanford of the Midwest.
The Harvard of the Midwest.
Ah!
Yeah.
Harvard.
I think that would be, because Stanford is a great school, but is known for being very liberal. I don't think we'd dip our toe in that water.
I see.
I think that'd be a little touchier, but they've got the tree mascot. The tree mascot's cool.
I mean,
I like the tree. I think it's the Stanford Cardinal. It's not plural. It's singular. One of the very few singular mascots, and the cardinal mascot is a tree with big bulging eyes. Great. I kind of like everything about that.
Nope, no notes. Great, sure. Send
all right,
it.
I mentioned on yesterday's show, I didn't get a chance to react to this text until after the show. Otherwise, I would have reacted in real time. I said Andrew Luck was at the Commanders game on Sunday, which made me do a double take. I'm walking in the tunnel in, that's Andrew Luck. What's he doing here? And so I said, Stanford, Andrew Luck's a general manager of Stanford. I didn't say that on the air. I said Stanford played at UVA on Saturday. So in a weird way, he was in the neighborhood. He was at a football game at UVA. And the next morning, there's a game in D.C. Like, geographically, it made sense. But I didn't elaborate on that. Awad texted me, said, Luck is Stanford's general manager, which is a fact. But doesn't get us any closer to why he was at. There's not even a scouting reason, because he can't take any of those players in the portal. That's not how the portal works. I don't know. I Googled, and there were a number of articles and a number of tweets. Hey, Andrew Luck's at the Commanders game. That's a piece of information I know. Stanford, he's a general manager. That's a piece of information I know. I want to know why. Instead of flying back with the team after the game, he was like, nah, I'm going to go watch some Marcus Mariota action. And he got a good show. Maybe he knows Pete Carroll? I don't think he knows Dan Quinn, because he would have been hanging out post-game if he had. Maybe there's a Pete Carroll tie there? Chip Kelly is with the Raiders? I don't know. I'm reaching. If you know, 833-804-0910. I haven't given out that number in a hot minute. 833-804-0910. If you want to call in today, you call in today, weigh in on any of this. Should UVA cancel classes because they're hosting a major Friday night football game? They're not going to. They're not going to. Now, here's the only take. I see it either way. Here's the take I will absolutely go to the mat on. Friday night football should not exist. Friday night college football should not exist. Full stop, period. That's for high schools. Saturday is for colleges. Thursday night is up for grabs. I understand why we're playing football on Thursday nights. It's a night I like watching television. If they're going to offer me a game, I'll watch it. College Thursday nights have kind of stunk recently, too, by the way. That used to have a lot of juice. They used to move good games to that Thursday night slot. I guess the NFL has just eaten their lunch now that the NFL does every Thursday on Amazon, probably. Like, it's just, you just can't counter-program against Packers Commanders. Like, there's just... It's the NFL. It steamrolls everything in its path. Maybe that's it. Thursday, fine. I'll deal with it. There should not be Friday night football. Now, also, the ACC is fully incentivizing that because they're paying out the schools based on their TV ratings. When are you going to get the highest TV ratings? It's when no other games are being played, obviously. It would not surprise me in the coming years if we see somebody go to a 10 a.m. kickoff on Saturday for that reason, to maximize the ratings, to maximize it. Somebody's going to try that at some point this year. ACC got together yesterday and voted to expand to a 9-game conference schedule, so they'll match the SEC and the Big Ten. Instead of 8 conference football games, they will now play 9, starting either next year or in a couple years, whenever they can get this sorted out. They also are going to mandate 1 additional game a year against a Power 4 school to keep the strength of schedule up. So everybody's got to do 10 games now against quality or at least level competition in the ACC, which is the way when the other two do it. This isn't, I'm not even sure it was a discussion. Because the ACC's been debating it for a while, but the SEC went there, so it was like, guess we got to do it now. The SEC doing it, guess we got to do it. I do think as everybody starts to mandate the 1 Power 4 game, I think the UVAs of the world are going to be in demand where... Sorry, I'm dunking on UVA in this segment, but it's not a hostile environment, right? You home and home against the Hokies, you go into Blacksburg, they're jumping around, they're doing inner Sandman, like that's an environment. I think UVA is going to be a desirable home and home opponent for the teams that do home and home. I don't mean to be dunking on UVA. You know I think they're the best team in the state this year. I said that yesterday. I'll say that again. JMU's good. UVA's better. A UVA-JMU straight up right now. UVA would win that football game. I think they're going to beat Tech this year. They have to beat Tech this year, but I think they're going to beat Tech this year. I don't think they're going to beat Florida State on Friday night because Florida State's good. Really, really good. Like, Florida State-Miami is going to be a show when we get to that in a couple weeks. But I think UVA can hold its own. I think Chandler Morris is very good. I think they have a favorable schedule. I think the schedule's remained favorable, which you don't know as the season goes on. Sometimes the schedule shifts. Like, you think about Virginia Tech's schedule. Georgia Tech was one of the, like, come-up-for-air moments. Well, they're a top 25 football team now. They've beaten Clemson. That's not a come-up-for-air moment for the Hokies anymore. They're just going to get pounded for, like, 5 straight weeks. It is a little ugly. UVA, this is the only top 25 team they're on the schedule to play all year. They've got a great Power 4 team in Washington State coming to town. That's a great matchup for them. Get Washington's Tony Bennett Bowl right there. UNC, get their swing at Belichick. That's going to be a lot of fun. Cal, Wake Forest, Duke, Hokies. None of those are, I mean, they'll lose at Louisville, but none of the other games are losses on the schedule. I think it breaks, sorry about that. I think it breaks really well for the Cavaliers. And I think that they can get to 8 wins, and they can get to a respectable bowl game. And that's the step forward they need, as long as the kids get their education, though. Because that's the most important thing around here. Make sure these kids get to school before they get out to the football game on Friday night. You'll hear that on WRVA Friday night. We'll, of course, have high school football with Gary Hess and Coach Chris right here. We're back with more after this Tuesday's show. Commanders Rewind coming in 17 minutes. We'll go around the NFL on the other side. You're listening.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first 2 orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Tonight, 10 The Fan, now 105.1
FM.
Week
3 in the
NFL. Counting down to week 4 in the NFL. That's the one that comes after week 3. That's the quarter poll. We're a quarter of the way through the season after week 4. We're learning some things. Athletics got their power rankings out today. Washington Commanders are the 11th best team in the NFL, according to The Athletic. And I think, yeah, that's probably about right. I think they're a playoff team right now. I don't think they're a Super Bowl team right now. I think Marcus Mariota is really good. I don't think he's, like, I don't think there's a quarterback controversy, put it that way. I don't think any other team's going to be like, get me Marcus Mariota on the phone. We got to make him a starter. And they had the chance this offseason, right? They, you know, he wasn't guaranteed to come back. He took a one-year deal. See, is anybody going to offer him a starting job? And the answer was no. And a lot of that's probably because of the circumstances he left Atlanta under, where he left the team in the middle of the season after he got benched, just packed up, bounced in the middle of the night. Not the best look. I don't think people are clamoring to hire that. On the other hand, he's good. He got the job done. He was not overwhelmingly good. He's not one of the 32 best quarterbacks in the world, but I think he's one of the 50 best quarterbacks in the world. I think he's right there. And if you want to make a case that he's better than some of these guys who are getting chances, I'll allow it. I just think if you're an NFL owner and you're looking for a quarterback, you want either an old guy who is absolutely proven nails good, or you want a young guy with potential. You don't. The last thing you want is an old guy who's pretty good. That's a tough sell for the fan base. You can't tell the fan base, hey, we found a guy who can get us to 9-8 every single season. Get excited. That's not going to get me excited. They want to hear, we paid all the money in the world to get Aaron Rodgers. We paid for Russell Wilson. Like, we got a Super Bowl winner coming in here. Or they want to hear, this young kid's going to be awesome. Our scouting department believes in him. They're wrong. He won't be. But it's available. The hope is available. The excitement is available. The in-between is tough. Colt McCoy was out for a while here. Colt McCoy is a good quarterback. You may remember Colt McCoy played for the Natty in college. Nobody's like, got to get Colt McCoy in to quarterback our team. He's there. He's available. Tyrod Taylor. He's there. He's available. He'll quarterback as long as he wants to in the NFL because he's good. He can fill in. He can do what you need him to do. He's not going to lift you. Russ, by the way, we may have seen the expiration date on Russ during Sunday Night Football. He's from Richmond. We love our guy. He'll always be from Richmond. He'll always be a Super Bowl champion. I don't think he's a Hall of Famer, but I think we'll talk about it when it's time. I think when he retires, voluntarily or involuntarily, which he's going to have to make up his mind, does he want to go be a backup somewhere? Because I don't think there's a starting job waiting for him next year on the other side. He's going to have to make up his mind. Cue up Dable for me here on Russ, because that was a great exchange yesterday. He's going to have to decide, do I want to be a backup? Do I want to hang out for 5 more years in the NFL? Because he can, and he'd be a great backup, and he's got stuff to teach people. Or am I good? I'm going to retire. Either way, I think when they have the Hall of Fame conversation, the thing that's going to hurt him is he didn't do anything in Denver, and he didn't do anything in once they separated him from that Legion of Boom, it wasn't there anymore. I think, you know, when they do the voting, they cut it to 150, 25, 12. And then you've got your class out of that. I think he's in the 25. I think the word is, like, is he one of the 25 best players of his generation, of his year? Yeah, he is. Is he one of the 6 best? Like, the best to ever play the game? That's going to be a much tougher sell for me. Like, I can just name a lot of quarterbacks his age who are going in before him. Matthew Stafford is going in before him to the Hall of Fame, right? Like, then that's your benchmark. Because Stafford's not, maybe I'm misreading the Matthew Stafford's. I don't think he's like a definitive consensus, everybody will vote for him unanimously Hall of Famer. I think he'll get in, but I think Russ is in line behind him on the velvet rope. I think the bouncer's calling Matthew Stafford before he calls Russell Wilson. Here's Brian Dable, coach of the New York Giants, for now, as we record this at 10:24 a.m. on Tuesday morning, September 23rd. For now, coach of the New York Giants, talking about Russell Wilson, who is, as of right now, a quarterback for those New York Giants.
Russ remains the starter moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, we're working through all personnel decisions, and we'll do that over the next few days.
You're not saying Russ is the starter, right? You're saying you're still working through that?
Yeah, we're doing what we normally do, which is, you know, watch the tape. You know, we'll have staff meetings after this.
What do you say what you normally do? Most Monday afternoons, you know who your quarterback's going to be the upcoming week if everyone's healthy, though. It just seems a little different, your responses.
Yeah, well, look, we're going through the tape right now. We're evaluating everything.
So quarterback change is on the table.
I'd say we're evaluating everything.
but is Russ the starter? Are we just looking for a yes or no here?
We're evaluating our options.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. That's that's coach speak right there. That's a lot of words.
That's a nothing burger.
That's a lot of words. That don't mean a lot. Mm. And Dan Quinn's the one who hit his head on the sideline on Sunday. You got to do better about the non-committal than that, because that's just so obviously we're benching Russ. He's going to have to work on that. Dable's going to have to get better at that. Because there's ways to do it, right? Like, we didn't know last week Brandon Coleman was going to be benched because Dan Quinn was smooth about it.
That was before he hit his head. We're still waiting this week.
We'll see what happens this week. This week we got the Jaden situation. I think Jaden plays on Sunday. I've said that. And Dan Quinn didn't want to commit to it yesterday because it's Monday and they play on Sunday and you don't need to. He wasn't being elusive. He just being smart. Nobody should have to fill out their lineup card on Monday for a Sunday football game. He'll get to it. He'll fill out the lineup card when he fills out his lineup card. Russ is so benched. Jackson Dart's so coming in. It's the Chargers this week, though. It's Giants-Chargers. I'm going to let Russ suffer that one. Chargers are good. I'm not throwing Jackson Dart to the Wolves. We've seen too many examples of the kids being thrust into action early, and it doesn't go well for them. I'd be really inclined to let him hang out for another week. The incentives are not aligned, as we often say. The incentives are, if he needs a coach for his job, he's got to do something to fire everybody up. The incentive for the kid is, don't throw him to the Wolves against Harbaugh and the Chargers. Come on now. Have a little common sense if you're the New York Giants. All right, Commanders Rewind on deck. They were the winners. The Raiders were the losers. We'll break it all down next. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM worldwide on the free Odyssey app. Welcome aboard Tuesday morning. Good Commanders Rewind, as it always is. We'll box that up. We'll put a bow on it. We'll make it available on the podcast. What you do is you go to your favorite podcast app, you search MP on the mic, you subscribe, and then after we do the Commanders Rewind, it gets injected straight into your football-loving veins. Pro Football Focus is in charge of documenting every snap, every play, every guy, every moment of the NFL. And sometimes things slide by that we don't catch. And certainly on the offensive line, I admitted earlier in this show, I did not see the offensive line shuffle coming the way it did. Andrew Wiley played well. Chris Paul coming off the bench, first time in 4 years as a starter, and not because somebody else got injured. But Pro Football Focus ranks every offensive lineman, every snap. And so there's two metrics here at play on this chart that they put out. One of them is how often the guy was left on an island. And this is for the tackles, right? So this is for Josh Connerly, the rookie on the right side, Laremy Tunsil on the left side. One of them is how often they're left on an island. So that means, like, you've got Max Crosby, you've got, you know, TJ Watt, you've got the pass rusher. How often are they told, block that guy? No help, no scheme, no nothing. Block that guy. And the other metric, of course, is how often they win when they're left on the island. The number one overall left, you know, tackle in football is Lane Johnson, Philadelphia Eagles. And their other tackle, Jordan Mailata, scored very highly as well. Josh Simmons, Kansas City Chiefs rookie, taken right after Josh Connerly, is also having a phenomenal season. And that's going to start some conversation, as they say, right? That they took Josh Connerly. I thought it was a great pick. I thought it was a defensible pick. I'm glad they used the pick on it. But Josh Simmons, taken a couple of picks later by the Chiefs, is having an incredible year. But in terms of pure how often they win on the island, the number one tackle in football is Laremy Tunsil. And I think that sometimes the numbers reveal things you don't see in the day-to-day, in the watching it, because I wouldn't have told you Laremy Tunsil is the number one tackle in football on an island. But they do the numbers. They break it down. What's interesting is Lane Johnson in Philly, who wins slightly less often. They both win basically all the time on an island. Lane Johnson gets left on the island by himself on almost three-quarters of all snaps. Right now, the Commanders are doing a lot more snaps where Laremy Tunsil gets help. And obviously, we mentioned Trent Scott is playing as a sixth offensive lineman. So when he's left side, that's help for Laremy Tunsil. He's not on the island. But that's encouraging to me as a person who says, man, the offensive line is going to be key to this team. And, you know, I didn't realize Brandon Coleman was doing it as poorly as he was. Laremy Tunsil has been flagged a number of times this year, and I think those are the times we hear from the offensive linemen. These metrics don't lie in the sense that Laremy Tunsil, when he's blocking elite NFL defensive linemen, he's winning. He is not letting people through to the quarterback. And I think that's validation for the investment. What's also fascinating is Josh Connerly is one of the two worst tackles in the NFL right now. And we all saw that. We saw that in the Packers game. We saw that in the Giants game. We didn't see it as much in the Raiders game because they got him a lot of help. They were lining up Trent Scott over there on almost every snap. It's a fascinating one, too, there. Now, some of that is self-fulfilling. If you've got two tackles in the game and one of them is the best in the NFL and the other one is the second worst in the NFL, and you have Max Crosby on your team, which side are you going to line Max Crosby up on? This is not a trick question. It also means Laremy Tunsil is routinely going against a lesser level of competition right now. Still good players. I mean, Giants game, those are great players. Giants have a great line top to bottom. But a Raiders game, Max Crosby's the guy. He's lining up more often than not over Josh Connerly. Josh Connerly's getting his help. I thought they schemed him a little better this week. I thought that was an important thing for them to do. Pro Football Focus, though, Laremy Tunsil, your number one tackle in football on an island. And I love that for him, and I love that move for Adam Peters. From the you can't hit all of them, Josh Simmons, drafted a couple picks after Josh Connerly, is destroying the competition right now. He's doing really well on a team that's struggling right now. You've got Chiefs-Ravens this weekend, pair 1-2 teams. Here's the Chiefs lose. The sky's falling. The dynasty's over. It's all over. The Ravens lose last night. Going to have to fire Harbaugh. There's just no way around it. 1-2. One of those narratives is going to win this weekend. Somebody gets the reprieve. I continue to insist the Ravens fans do not know what they're talking about. Keep your coach. He's good. There are not 10 better coaches in football than that guy. You're 1-2 with a pair of close losses. Don't sweat it. Don't worry about it. Things will come around for the Baltimore Ravens. They'll be just fine, especially in that division. Eagles roll on. Another week, another tush-push controversy. I exhausted all my anger about this last week, so I'll just reemphasize. Because what made me mad was not that they false started on the tush-push, not that they didn't call it, not that it made a difference in the win over the Rams. We've resigned ourselves to all these things. It's that an anonymous NFL executive said this to Adam Schefter, which he put out after that play. This is what the membership voted for. You remember Roger Goodell wanted to cancel the tush push. They did not have enough votes to do that. They played it. I'd just like to address that briefly. The membership did not vote for the officials to incorrectly officiate a play every single time. We have slow motion video. We have replay reviews that take 3 minutes. We have expedited video replay reviews. We have options. When a guy jumps off sides on a tush push, when a guy jumps early on the tush push, you can call that. You can call the penalty. You can throw the flag, and that will naturally slow down the play. Hey, this is what the membership voted for. It does feel, and we may have to take a trip to Conspiracy Corner this week, it does feel like the NFL is intentionally not calling the penalties to prove the point. Oh, you should have done what we said and banned the play. I'm just saying, it feels, when you have these obvious calls that are going uncalled, it sure feels like they're proving a point, rather than officiating the football game, which is the thing they should be doing. Two more segments with you. We'll get you to noon with you all week. Remember, Friday night, big one, UVA Florida State. We'll get you fired up for that. That'll be on 1140, our sister station, WRVA. But we're back after this on your home of the Commanders in Richmond.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
9-10 The Fan, 105.1 Commanders Rewind coming. I feel it in my bones. I'm calling it right now. We're going 3 here because we got a lot to talk about because the Commanders won over the Raiders. They're 2-1. They're headed to Atlanta this weekend. Sports Talk on the Fan this week brought to you by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game all season long, kicking off with the juicy Week 4 matchup between the Washington Commanders and the Atlanta Falcons. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. When we left off, Matt Gay was so fired. It was over for him. By the way, I put this out on social media. I'll break this down for you. If you're an NFL player, they call it a vested veteran. It means you've played 4 years in the league. That's the rookie contract is 4 years. Once you enter the fifth year, your life as an NFL player becomes very cushy. A lot of things change. One of the things that changes, you get a guaranteed higher salary. It doesn't necessarily count all the way against salary cap to protect hiring veterans. You also... If you're on the week one roster, so if you come out of training camp and you make the team, you get 17 weeks of guaranteed pay. If you're a veteran and you make the team out of training camp and they cut you in the middle of the season, you have to get paid for the rest of the season. If you're a rookie on a rookie deal, first 4 years, that's not true. If they cut you 4 weeks into the season, you don't get that 13 weeks of pay. Everybody's like, "I bet you made $600,000 last year." And they're like, "Nope, I made a fourth of that. I made 4/17 of that." Because when they cut you, they don't pay you. But when you're a veteran, you do. Now for Matt Gay, he's a kicker. The team needed a good kicker. He's a reliable veteran kicker. There were warning signs that he wasn't great from deep. Sure, fine, whatever. They gave him a $4 million guaranteed contract. And AWOD hates it when I make this point, so I'd like to make this point again. If you had taken the $4 million you gave to Matt Gay and given it to Terry McLaurin just for fun, you could have found a kicker for minimum wage, $600,000. There's a lot of them. There's always rookies that want to be kickers. You could have avoided the whole Terry lockout. Hey, what if we just threw $3 million on top? Yeah, when do I report? Let's go practice. And we'd all be in a better place right now. They didn't. Now, AWOD comes back with the thought process was solid. I will give you that the thought process was, we're tired of having a bad kicker, we need a good kicker. That is correct. And if they had paid $4 million and gotten a good kicker, I think we'd all be generally happy with the outcomes here. They didn't. But also, it's really tough to cut a $4 million kicker 3 games into the year and pay him for 17 weeks of kicking. You see where I'm at here. Everybody who's available at minimum wage is now adding to your salary cap, not detracting from it, because you're still paying the four, and you're probably not going to do better than him because the guys who are better than him got signed during the offseason. There aren't guys sitting at home that can reliably make 60 yarders. You can get a guy as good as him, but if you're still paying him, and we're just rearranging deck chairs now on the old SS Special Teams Titanic. But he redeems himself. Here's Matt Gay from 46 as we continue Commander's Rewind.
And this is from 46. 42 of 49 in his career from this distance. He's already missed once from 37 on the opposite side of the field. Ball be marked on the right hash mark. This from 46 yards. Snap down. Kick is on its way. And that one is good.
Probably get a little lucky after that. The Raiders get back into the red zone. They score the touchdown. It's 10-10. We do have a ball game. We shouldn't have a ball game, but we do have a ball game. Statistically, the Commanders are dominating this game. The Raiders have figured some stuff out offensively. Defense is going to need to get it together. But Jeremy McNichols says, I got you. Don't worry about this thing.
It's second and five from there. Clock's moving. 3:47 to go in the half. Washington does only have one timeout to work with. In motion, Chris Moore. Here's the snap. Handoff right up the middle. That's Jeremy McNichols bouncing off a three. Raiders breaks into the free. 40, 35, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. Unbelievable. Touchdown run. Touchdown. Touchdown, Washington. Jeremy McNichols broke through the Raiders' D.
Man, that was some shades and some John Riggins right there. You're talking about refusing to be denied. Jeremy McNichols. Breaking three tackles by the Raiders. Get off me. I got registrations for six in the end zone.
London, unfortunately, spontaneously combusted after that. So I don't know that we'll hear from him again. No, he's happy. It's Commanders football. It's 17-10. They hold the Raiders, and then this is what football is all about, stealing points at the end of the half. If Matt Gay had missed from 37 and made from 46, I would have begrudgingly on Monday said, I think you have to leave him on the team because you're paying him all that money. I think the money matters. But instead, they go and give him a 56-yarder, and he totally redeems himself.
All right, here we are back to play from 56 yards. We marked on the W at the 46-yard line, left hash mark. Snap's good, holds down. Kick is on its way. It's got a leg. Is it good?
It is! Matt Gay from 56 sends us to the locker room with a 10-point lead.
Ha, 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 ha. It's Commanders Rewind. 20-10 at halftime. This game's not over. You feel good, but this game's not over. A thing happened between those two kicks. Dan Quinn got knocked over by Marcus Mariota. And he goes in the locker room, and he gets stitches. And after he gets stitches, he comes into the locker room, and he gives a pump-up speech to everybody. I'm bloody. Let's go fight. Let's go win a football game. And then they do. Inspiration comes from strange places sometimes. Second half of Commanders Rewind as we start hour number two of this radio program. On the other side, happy Tuesday to you. It's MP on the mic. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.